Yeah, there. This morning, I want to talk to you about being faithful or fakeful. Faithful or fakeful. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Matthew chapter 6. That's where we are going to be this morning. Verses 1 through 18, we're going to be kind of skipping around in those verses there. Talking about being faithful or fakeful. Faithful or fakeful. Man, that is a tongue twister. Say that 5 times fast. Oh, gosh, it's terrible. But I remember growing up hearing a story about a pastor of a large church. This was a huge church at the time. 600-800 people were going to this church. Now there's churches even bigger than that. But back when I heard the story, that was a big church. And they got a new pastor. And it was the pastor's first Sunday. And so the deacons of the church, they had sent out emails, they had sent letters, they had posted things all over the community for people to come and to meet the pastor on his first Sunday. So the church is packed that Sunday morning. There are people coming up, they're dressed up in their Sunday best, full 3-piece suits and wonderful, beautiful dresses, and all of the kids, they got fresh haircuts. Everybody is coming to church in their Sunday best, ready to put on a good impression and meet the new pastor. And as people are pulling into the parking lot, there at the entrance of the parking lot that was just freshly paved is a homeless man. And that homeless man, he is dirty, he is ragged, his clothes are torn, his shoes are just, you can see his toes, I mean, just very dirty. And he's sitting there, long hair, greasy, hadn't showered in a while. The only thing he has is a backpack with everything that he owns on his bag. And he has a sign up. And the sign simply says, "Hungry, God bless." That's all that it says. And one by one, each of these cars coming to church pull into the parking lot past this homeless man. One by one by one, get out of the car in their Sunday best, their fresh haircuts, new suits, and they keep walking into church. Not a single car, 800 people pass this homeless man, not a single one stops and offers him food, offers him help. In fact, the deacons are talking inside, and they're just like, "Oh my goodness, our pastor's coming, and we've got this homeless guy out here. What do we do? Do we need to go and ask him to leave? Like, we want to put on a good first impression." And they start to figure out what they want to do and whether they should confront the man or just leave him be. And finally, they decide, hey, the homeless man can stay outside, but as soon as he tries to come into church, we are going to ask him to leave. Could you imagine? Man, maybe some of you have been to a church like that. Okay, don't name names, all right? I've been to a few churches like that, unfortunately. Well, then the clock strikes 10 a.m., church service starts. The worship band, they kick up and they're singing and they're worshiping the Lord just like what we do on Sunday mornings, but the pastor is still not there. The deacons start to get a little bit nervous. All of a sudden, one of the deacons get up and he starts to do the offering and passing the plate and sharing the announcements. And now they're really worried because the pastor still isn't there. And they're thinking, man, he drove by the church and he saw this homeless man. This homeless man must have scared him off. So the deacons, they're meeting out in the church office and they're trying to figure out how they can call the pastor and see what's going on because they really want him to be there. Church is cram-packed, hasn't been that full in a very long time. And all of a sudden, it's time for the message to start. And they're sitting there and they're waiting and the pulpit is empty. All of a sudden, the doors to the sanctuary open in the back and this homeless man starts to walk in. And he makes his way forward up onto the stage into the pulpit. And he says, "Welcome to church. I'm your new pastor." The pastor began to talk about how he wanted to see the heart of the people in the church. So that morning, nobody had met him yet. He found the worst clothes that he could find. He went and he rolled in some mud piles and all kinds of stuff. He didn't shower for 3 days. And he went out with a sign and simply said, "Hungry, God bless," to see what the people in the church would do. And every single one of them passed him by. And he preached on Matthew, I believe, chapter 24, where it says, "For I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. Welcome to church. I'm your new pastor. Now, what this pastor just did was he called out all of the fakeness and the fakefulness of every person in the church. They love to dress up. They love to come and serve the Lord on Sundays, but they didn't actually care about God changing their hearts, changing them from the inside out. And this is the crux of what Jesus is getting to in the entire book of Matthew. But particularly here in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is focusing on the heart of people. It doesn't matter what you look like. You don't have to come and try to get yourself together. Maybe you have thought before, man, I got to get myself right before I come to Jesus. I have to make myself perfect and clean up my act, and then Jesus will accept me. And Jesus in Matthew 6 says that is not the case at all. That's not what's going on here. So if you turn to Matthew chapter 6, he starts out in verses 1 through 6. Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he gives them this warning about being fake. And he says, watch out. Don't do your good deeds publicly to be admired by others, for you will lose the reward from your Father in heaven. And when you give to someone in need, don't do as the hypocrites do. The Pharisees is what he's talking about, blowing trumpets in the synagogues and the streets and calling attention to their acts of charity. I tell you the truth that they have received all the reward they will ever get. But when you give to someone in need, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Give your gifts in private, and your Father who sees everything will reward you. And when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, the Pharisees is who he's talking about, who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they will ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father who sees everything will reward you. And when you fast, jumping down to verse 16 now, don't make it obvious, as the hypocrites do, for they try to look miserable and disheveled so people will admire them for their fasting. I tell you the truth, that is the only reward that they will ever get. But when you fast, comb your hair and wash your face, then no one will notice that you are fasting except your Father in heaven, who knows what you do in private, and your Father who sees everything will reward you. You see, Jesus is making a comparison to his disciples about the Pharisees and how the Pharisees would act in public. The Pharisees were the religious leaders of the days. They were the Jewish leaders. They ran the synagogue. They ran the temple. They came and they knew everything, the first five books of the Old Testament and all of the Torah. They knew them word by word, line by line. You could say go to the 14th page and the third line and the sixth word, and they could tell you exactly what that word was. They knew their stuff. But what they did was they didn't actually care about God in their heart. They only cared about acting like they cared about God so they could keep their status in society and in public. They were really good, the Pharisees, at showing others their faithfulness and their religiosity. And this is what they would do. So when a Pharisee would come and they would pray, they would come out into the street and there would be the trumpets of people from the synagogue behind them shouting and playing the trumpets. So everybody around in front of the synagogues and in front of the temple knew some important religious people were about to come pray. And you could come and you could watch them pray. And if you know anything about Jewish history, you know that they have these tassels that are on their prayer cloth and they represent different prayers. So they would grab those and they would boldly proclaim the prayers and they would just have these incredible, beautiful orations of prayer to the Lord. But they didn't actually care about what they were saying. Their prayers weren't actually meaningful to the Lord because they were basically performing for the people around them. That's what they would do when they would pray. And when they would give, the same thing would happen. These trumpets would come out and say, hey, come see these really wealthy, important religious people. They're about to come to the temple and they're about to give. Could you imagine, let me put this in perspective, coming to church and me as your pastor or some other pastor, because I would never do this, okay, saying, hey, we have somebody in church today that is going to give in the offering of their tithe and their offering $10,000, and we want them to come up here and we are going to watch as they hand us this check and we're just going to celebrate them. That is what the Pharisees would do. And then when they would fast, they would go out and they would you know, not shower and wash and all of these types of things for days and days on end. They would go out into public while they were fasting. And when you fast, you're supposed to be at home, not eating and drinking, but instead spending time in scripture and prayer and focusing on the Lord. But instead, what the Pharisees would do is they would go out into public and they would walk around and say, oh, look at me, I've been fasting, I've been before the Lord, I've been seeking him. And it was all this public religious display. And they would do these things, giving and praying and fasting, the three most important acts of a faithful believer. And they would go out and show their religiosity to the world. And Jesus is coming now, and he's teaching his disciples something different. What Jesus is teaching his disciples is that private practice is more important than public praise. This is extremely important. You see, it's very easy for all of us as followers of Christ to do certain religious tasks and asks and things, and we think that what we're doing is being faithful. But in reality, if we don't allow Jesus to change our heart, we're being nothing but fake. We're just putting on a performance. We're just putting on a show, and the biggest person that we're fooling is ourselves. Jesus says, if you truly want to have a relationship with God, what you do in private is way more important than what you do in public. You can come to church and you can give and you can tell people, hey, I'm going to pray for you. I'm praying for you. But if you don't actually pray for them, if you're not in the scriptures during the week seeking the Lord, that's what's important. Private practice is more important than public praise. This is what Jesus is getting at. The Pharisees, their public displays are not what is going to reward the Pharisees. He comes through, and in every single one of these things, with giving, with prayer, and with fasting, Jesus starts saying, hey, this is not how you get rewards from the Father. He says in verse 4, give your gifts in private, and your Father who sees everything will reward you. It's not the praises of the people around you that reward you, it's the Lord. He goes on talking about prayer, and he says, when you pray, go away by yourself, in verse 6, shut the door behind you and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father who sees everything will reward you. And then if you jump down to verse 18, he says, no one will notice that you're fasting except your Father, who knows what you do in private, and your Father who sees everything will reward you. You see a theme here? Jesus is saying what you do in private is what God looks at. He's looking at the heart. He's looking at your intentions. And as faithful followers of Christ, it can become easy to where we just get into this religious groove, right? And we just kind of go through the motions. I've been there. I've done it. I've done it as a pastor. Okay, it's another Sunday. I got to come to church. I got to stand up here. I got to preach the word of God. I got to come and I got to worship and I got to go do this and do that. But throughout the week, it's so easy to just go through life, right? There's so many things. There's our family that's pulling at us. There's work. There's other issues and things that go crazy in our life and finances. It's so easy to focus on that. We forget to go into our closet, spend time before the Lord with him. This is what Jesus is getting at. If you want to be a faithful follower of Christ, what you do in private is far more important than what you do in public. To put this into some perspective for me, during my sabbatical, I was listening to a podcast of another pastor who pastors a fairly large church, 3,000-4,000 people. And he was being interviewed by a guy, and you know, he talked about how, you know, when you come as a pastor and you have to preach the gospel, preach the word in front of 3,000 to 4,000 people every single week, it can get really easy to focus on the message. I got to come out and I got to have really good stories to capture people's attention, and I got to craft it in such a way that people leave with things and all this stuff. And he said that throughout the years he started focusing more on, does this sound good? Does what I say sound really good for somebody to hear? That he forgot to actually spend time to say, Lord, what do you want to speak to your people? And he began to change, and he said, you know, there are times where my prayer life, My personal devotional life has become so long, I don't have time during the week to actually prepare a message. And so I'll get up on stage in front of 3,000 people on Sunday morning, and I might only have 5 or 6 different, you know, things that the Lord has spoken to me, but I don't have a full sermon written out. He said, to me, it is so much more important that I spend that personal time before the Lord in prayer and scripture and seeking the face of God than it is coming out into public and performing this great message for people to hear. And to me, that was very convicting and very challenging. And I have kind of taken that approach. Not for you to think that your pastor doesn't do anything, but perfect example would be this sermon right here. I spent time with the Lord every morning. It's not something I've always done, but something I'm getting better at, that I did not have time to actually sit down and to map out an entire sermon. To give you an idea of how I write my sermons, I will normally have 4 to 5 pages of notes up here in a binder that I go through, and I kind of write out word for word what I want to say. My notes for today are 1.5 pages, okay? Just to give you some insight into your pastor. Because what you do in private is more important than what you do in public. This is what Jesus is getting at. And here's why. Because God wants your faithfulness, not your fakefulness. So we have to look at our heart. And we have to ask ourselves, what is my motive? What is my motive for serving the Lord? What is my motive for giving to the church? What's my motive for coming to church? What's my motive for praying and fasting and doing all of these things? Because you see, Jesus is making a distinction here between religiosity and relationship. You see, we can practice religiosity all day long. And religiosity is nothing more than, look at me. Look at the things that I can do. Look at all of these traditions and all of these prayers and all of these things that I can do. I've been taught to do and to do and to do. But relationship is different. Relationship with Jesus does not say, look at me. It says, God, make a change in me. That's what a relationship with Jesus is all about. Religiosity says, look at the things that I can do. Relationship says, look at the things that the Lord is doing in my soul, in my heart. That other people around me, they may not notice at that exact moment, but through me living my life, they will see there is something different about that person. Man, there is something different about this person. I used to see them at the bar all the time, drinking and getting drunk, and now I haven't seen them there at all, and they're coming around and they're talking about how much they love their spouse and how much they're enjoying their work and how much God is just blessing them. And they see that it's not these outward performances. It's not just coming to church and doing the right things and not doing this and doing that. It's the fact that Jesus has made a change in your life. That's relationship. That is faithfulness. Jesus does not care about religiosity. Let me put it that way. He cares about your individual heart and your faithfulness. Because God will reward your faithfulness, not your fakefulness. And so each and every one of us, we need to analyze our hearts and ask the Lord to change us from the inside out. This is why Jesus came. If you've ever wondered, why did Jesus come when he did? Right? You can look at the world around us and you can see, man, the world is just going crazy, right? As my grandpa always says, the world is going to hell in a handbasket, right? Anybody heard that phrase before? That is just what he would say all the time. So why did Jesus come 2,000 years ago? Why didn't he come before then? Why didn't he come now? Why did he come then? And I think it's because the Lord knew the heart of man. There's lots of reasons that you can look at historically as to why Jesus came when he did. For example, the rise of the Roman Empire, right? They had taken over all of the known world and they had built infrastructure. So when Jesus came, his message was able to go out. And within 40 years, they say that 90% of the people in the Roman Empire had heard the message of Christ. I mean, just absolutely incredible things. But one of the reasons why I think Jesus came when he did was because he understood the religious spirit that people were living in that day. It was all about, look at me. Look at what I'm doing. Look at how I'm serving the Lord. Look at what I'm doing and how I'm giving. Look at how much I know about scripture. It was all about these religious traditions and aspects. They had forgotten about the relationship with the Lord. They forgot about the times that God had led the Israelites with a pillar of smoke by day and a pillar of fire by night out of Egypt. They forgot about the times that God had spoke to Joshua and said, hey, when you go into the promised land and you begin to take over the territory from the Canaanites, do not be afraid. Take courage. I am with you. They forgot that all along, all throughout history, God was only concerned about a relationship with his people. And it became a religious spirit. That's why Jesus came when he did. Because he understood the fakeness of people and the religiosity, and he wanted to teach them faithfulness. So we have to analyze our hearts and ask the Lord to change us from the inside out. Ask yourself, why do I give? Why do I make daily prayer a priority? Or maybe you only pray when you come to church. Say, well, why do I do that? Right? Don't just hear your pastor up here saying, hey, here's what's right, here's what's wrong, here's the relationship, here's the religious spirit. Begin to ask the Lord, God, why do I do these things? Why do I seek the will of God in my life for important things, but then daily decisions and weekly decisions that I make for my family, I don't ask his opinion and I don't ask him to help me. Begin to ask the Lord and say, God, is there a religious spirit inside of me? Is there anything inside of me that I only do to make myself feel better, or are the things that I do to truly get closer to you? You see, my prayer as your pastor is that our church is known as a faithful church, a church full of believers who care more about their private practice of faith than their public praise of doing good things. My prayer is that each one of you experience the life change that comes from Jesus Christ. And you know, this, I've spoken about this at length, and it's kind of an interesting contradiction here, because I'm talking about doing things in private and not doing it in public, and here I am in public telling you things that I'm doing in private, right? But that's also how we learn, because what Jesus is not doing here is he's not saying never talk about your faith, right? That's not what he's saying. He's not saying never share with other people the things that you're doing to get closer to the Lord. He's saying look at your attitude. Look at your heart. Why are you sharing these things? So what I'm sharing with you is to truly help you get closer to Jesus, right? The last several months of my life, I have made my private practice with the Lord a priority in my life. And I cannot begin to tell you the transformational change that has taken place. The level of my anxiety that has completely plummeted because I spend time before the Lord. And he just gives me peace and comfort every single morning before I go into work. the times where I'm just, I don't know what decision that I need to make because there's so many things that are coming at me at once and I don't know what to do. And typically my mind would get cloudy and I would just be like, okay, I don't know what to do, so I'm not going to do anything. And God comes and he just gives peace and clarity and reminds me of scripture. I pray and I ask the Lord, God, help me to figure out what I even need to do to get done today. Times in my relationship, in my marriage, where I don't know about you, but sometimes you come home and the kids have done something to Kinsey and so she's upset or the kids are upset because Kinsey didn't give them snacks or whatever it is, and you come in and it's so easy to allow that to affect you. And I say, God, help me to see beyond the surface. And because I've spent time with the Lord, I come in with a completely different perspective, and it's so hard to explain until you experience the inward change and the transformation. That private time with the Lord is so important. And that's what people will see in public. Like I said, Jesus isn't talking about don't talk about what you're doing in public, but why are you sharing it? Are you sharing it to help other people get closer to him? You see, when you experience the transformational power of the Holy Spirit inside of you, you can't help but to seek God more and give to others what he has given to you. So this morning, I just want us to just pause and to ask, Holy Spirit, speak to me in this moment. Wherever you're sitting, maybe you're listening online at home or in the car or wherever you are, just ask the Lord, Holy Spirit, what are you speaking to me? What are some things in my life that I have not been putting into private practice? Are there things in my life that I need to focus on more for you to make a change in my life? Maybe this morning you're thinking, man, I've just been trying to live life on my own, right? That if I do enough good deeds and enough good outward things, that will be enough. Jesus says very clearly in this passage of scripture that that's not what's important. It's the inward change. It's the transformation that only comes from the power of Jesus Christ. And maybe you just need to resubmit your life or give your life to the first time to the Lord and say, make that inward change in me. Save me from my sin. Deliver me from myself. And begin to restore my soul. Maybe the Lord is speaking to you this morning and you're saying, Holy Spirit, what do I need to do? And he's saying, man, you need to spend more time in prayer. Intentional, focused prayer each morning. You need to spend time reading scripture, reading even just a few verses in the morning before you get out of bed. Maybe it's God is challenging you that you need to start giving to the Lord more. Whatever it is, Holy Spirit, what are you speaking to us? I pray, Lord, that you speak to us personally and specifically this morning. That we become people of private faithfulness to serve you. And that because of our relationship with you that we have on the inside, it oozes out of us. And the people around us, our community, our family, our loved ones, see there is something different about each and every one of us. And it's the transformational work of Jesus that has saved us from the inside out. This morning, I want us to close by just listening to and worshiping to this song. This song is called Give Us Clean Hands and Give Us Pure Hearts. So as we listen to this song this morning, will you just make this your prayer to the Lord?
Down our idols, give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. We bow our hearts, we bend our knees. Oh Spirit, come make us humble. We turn our eyes from evil things. Oh Lord, we cast down our idols. Give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Oh God, let us be a generation that seeks your face. Oh God and Jacob, oh God, let us be a generation that seeks your face. Oh God and Jacob, give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another.
Yes, Lord, I pray that you just give us clean hands and a pure heart. Lord, I believe this morning you are challenging us to be intentional in our relationship with you. God, the signs are all around us. When you look at the world and you look at the chaos, that you are coming back soon for your people and for your church. And I pray, God, that you find me in a place not full of religiosity, but in a full relationship with you. Help each and every one of us this morning to live an intentional life serving you. To say, God, make a change in me, because I know that on my own, I cannot live this life the way that you have created me to do it. I have sinned, God. I have messed up. I have made mistakes, God. I have done things wrong against others and against you. But Lord, you can save me, you can redeem me, you can set me free from my sin. And because of that, I'm going to be intentional in my relationship with you. Thank you, Jesus, that you have come and we can have this wonderful relationship. Lord, may you bless us and keep us. May your face shine upon us. Be gracious in all we say and do until we gather here together again to worship you in your holy mighty name.